All right, welcome back everyone to the deep dive. We've got a really interesting case to unpack today. It's the People v. Alberto Ochoa, and it's kind of a landmark case in California, especially when we're talking about gross vehicular manslaughter and, you know, those DUI cases where things turn really tragic.
Yeah, it really gets to the heart of how courts figure out, you know, when a DUI that ends in a fatality is actually gross negligence, criminally speaking.
Right, exactly. Like, where's that line? So for everyone listening, I think, especially for you law students out there, there are a few big things to keep in mind as we go through this. Like, what kind of evidence can be used in court in these cases? And then, okay, how do we actually define gross negligence? Not just, you know, negligence, but gross negligence. And then how do higher courts, those appeals courts, look at these cases when they're reviewing them? What standards are they using?
Yeah, and I think for law students especially, this case is a great example of how criminal law has to deal with these really difficult situations where you have an accident, something awful happens, but then you have to look at the level of responsibility, the awareness of the person who was driving. It's a tough area.
Okay, so before we get too deep into the legal stuff, let's set the scene a bit.
Sure.
The facts of this case are, I mean, they're really powerful, and they kind of show why this whole thing became such a big deal. So rewind back to 1988. Alberto Ochoa, he's got a DUI conviction already on his record.
Okay.
And because of that, he had to go through, you know, the court-ordered alcohol education program. So flash forward to 1990, he's at a barbecue, and we're talking a considerable amount of alcohol here. Reports say something like 17 to 22 beers.
Wow.
Later that night, about 1:50 a.m., he's driving home, and witnesses see him speeding. We're talking 10 to 15 miles per hour over the limit, weaving in and out of lanes on the freeway. And then, tragically, he rear-ends another car. Two people in that car, they die. His blood alcohol content, or BAC, they estimate it was about 0.15%.
Yeah, that's way over the legal limit.
Oh, absolutely. More than double. And get this, witnesses actually had to physically stop him from leaving the scene of the accident. So as you're hearing this, you might be thinking, well, yeah, of course this is bad. But the legal question is, why are all these specific details so important?
Right. And that's the key thing here. It's not just about the fact that he was driving drunk and people died.
Mm-hmm.
The legal bar to prove gross negligence is much higher. You have to show like a conscious indifference to what might happen, to those consequences. So all these details, the prior DUI, the fact that he had that education, you know, he knew the dangers, that super high BAC, the reckless driving, they all build up that picture of gross negligence.
Exactly. In this case, it didn't just go straight to the California Supreme Court. Ochoa, he was actually found guilty of gross vehicular manslaughter in his first trial. But then the Court of Appeal, they overturned that conviction. They said there wasn't enough evidence to really prove gross negligence. So that's what brings us to the California Supreme Court stepping in.
Right.
They wanted to take a look at this. And there are two really, really important legal questions at the center of all this. One, could they even use that evidence of the earlier DUI in court?
Mm-hmm.
And two, did everything they had, all that evidence together, was it actually enough to prove gross negligence beyond a reasonable doubt?
It's interesting, right? The fact that the Supreme Court even took the case after the Court of Appeals said no,
yeah,
it kind of tells you they thought something was off.
Yeah.
Like maybe the appellate court was thinking about gross negligence too narrowly in these kinds of DUI cases, you know, and the Supreme Court wanted to lay down the law, give clearer guidelines for everyone else.
Yeah, they saw a need to step in. Okay, so let's get to it. What did the California Supreme Court decide?
Well, bottom line, they disagreed with the Court of Appeal. They reversed that decision and said that Ochoa's original conviction, it stands.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they said, yep, there's enough evidence here to say this is gross negligence, legally speaking.
Okay, so let's break down those two big legal issues and how the Supreme Court thought about them.
So, first, that evidence of the prior DUI. The trial court, they allowed the prosecution to use that to say, hey, he had a DUI before, he was on probation, he went through that whole alcohol awareness program. What did the Supreme Court say about that?
The Supreme Court was totally on board with the trial court's decision.
Okay.
They said that evidence is fair game. And their reasoning is actually really important for law students to get. They said that prior DUI and all that came with it, the classes, all that, showed Ochoa knew about the dangers of drinking and driving. He'd been through the system already. He couldn't say, oh, I didn't know. Right, that makes sense. Like, he should have known better. But doesn't that bring up a tricky point? Because we talk about gross negligence being this objective standard, right? What a reasonable person would have understood in that situation. Right. So how does Ochoa's own personal history, what he knew from before, how does that fit into this objective standard?
Yeah, you've hit on the really subtle part of this case. Right. And the Supreme Court, they addressed it directly. They said, look, yes, the ultimate test for gross negligence, it is objective. It's about whether a reasonable person would see that huge risk of death or serious injury.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, you don't think about this reasonable person as just some blank slate. This reasonable person, they have the knowledge, the experiences, the background of the defendant. So in this case, the court is saying, a reasonable person, knowing what Ochoa knew, having his history, would have understood how dangerous this was.
So it's objective, but it's based on a reasonable person who's kind of living in the defendant's shoes, so to speak. But wait, wasn't there a different opinion on this? I thought one of the justices, Justice Pinelli, he saw this differently.
Oh, absolutely. Justice Pinelli, he wrote what's called a concurring opinion, which means he agreed with the outcome, but he had a different way of getting there. And he specifically disagreed with the majority about using that prior DUI to show Ochoa's awareness.
Okay.
His point was that if you're using that prior DUI to say, see, he knew better, you're bringing in something subjective. What did the defendant actually know? What was his intent? And he thought gross negligence should be totally objective. Just look at how dangerous the actions were in that moment, not the person's past.
So that's a super important distinction. The majority is saying a reasonable person with Ochoa's past would have gotten it. But Justice Pinelli saying, just look at the actions, the BAC, the speeding, the swerving. Were those enough on their own for gross negligence, no matter what this guy knew from before?
Exactly. Pinelli was worried that using the prior DUI would kind of muddy the waters between gross negligence, which again is about being indifferent to the consequences, and implied malice, which is where you're aware of the risk of death. That's a very subtle but super important legal line.
Got it. All right. So that's the first big legal question sorted out. Now, on to the second one. Was there really enough evidence in this case to prove gross negligence? The Court of Appeal, as we said, they didn't think so.
Yeah, they thought the 0.15% BAC, the speeding 10 to 15 miles per hour over the limit, they said those things by themselves weren't excessive.
Right.
And the Supreme Court, they pushed back hard on that. They said, hold on, 0.15%, that's way above the legal limit, almost double. And he's speeding, he's swerving on a freeway. That shows a total disregard for everyone else's safety. There's no way you can call that not excessive.
And the prior DUI, the alcohol classes, how did the Supreme Court factor that into whether his actions were actually gross negligence?
They emphasized that because of his past experience, because of those classes, Ochoa should have known, without a doubt, how dangerous it was to be that drunk and driving like that. So doing those things with that knowledge, that's what crosses the line into conscious indifference, which is, at its core, what gross negligence is all about. And the Supreme Court, they felt strongly that the Court of Appeal was basically second-guessing the jury, you know, reevaluating the evidence instead of saying, hey, the jury heard it all, and if there's enough evidence to support their decision, we need to respect that.
That's really interesting. So to make sure we're all on the same page here, what does gross negligence actually mean legally?
In the law, gross negligence is when you have such a small amount of care that it shows you don't care about the consequences.
Yeah.
It's much more serious than just, you know, messing up a little, like ordinary negligence where you just didn't use reasonable care. Gross negligence means you're really disregarding the danger you're putting others in. Think of it this way. Ordinary negligence might be like accidentally running a stop sign. But gross negligence, in this context, it's like knowing you're super drunk, weaving through traffic, going way too fast, and just not caring about the risk to everyone around you.
And while the standard to decide if something is gross negligence, it's usually objective, like we've said, what a reasonable person would think. This Ochoa case, it adds this whole other layer, right? We have to think about what the defendant knew from before, what their experiences were, to figure out what a reasonable person with his background would have understood about the risk.
That's exactly it. It's about adding context to that objective standard. The main thing is still whether harm was foreseeable. But now we're looking at it through the lens of what should this specific person have known given their past? And that's where Justice Pinelli's worry comes in, that maybe we're mixing objective and subjective things a bit too much. It's a debate that continues in legal circles.
So big picture, what changed after the Ochoa decision? What are the real world effects on these kinds of cases?
Well, Ochoa did a few important things. First, it gave prosecutors a clearer path. It said, hey, you can use evidence of a defendant's past DUIs, those alcohol education programs, in these gross vehicular manslaughter cases.
Okay.
Because that evidence can be really powerful to show the defendant knew the dangers, that they were consciously indifferent. Mm. And second, Ochoa reinforced this idea of deference. Appeals courts, they need to respect what the trial court decided, especially when it comes to the facts of the case. Unless there's clearly not enough evidence to support the jury's verdict, the appeals court shouldn't be redoing the trial, you know?
So for everyone listening, especially those of you in law school, what are the big takeaways, the key things to remember from People v. Alberto Ochoa?
I'd say for law students, this case is a fantastic illustration of just how complicated it is to apply these negligence standards in criminal law. It shows how even a standard that's supposed to be objective, like gross negligence, gets tied up with the defendant's own individual knowledge, their history.
Mm.
And it gives you a glimpse into how trial courts and appeals courts work together and those limitations on the appeals courts. But maybe the most important thing is that it introduces this big ongoing legal debate. How much should we consider a defendant's past when we're deciding if they're criminally responsible? A really tough question, especially in cases about negligence, and it's something that's still being worked out in the legal world.
That's a great point. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the People v. Alberto Ochoa, here's something to really think about. In our system, how do we balance those universal objective standards with the idea that each defendant comes with their own knowledge, their own story? How much weight should we give to that individual history when we're deciding if someone's guilty, especially in cases involving negligence? Does it go beyond DUIs, beyond these fatality cases? It's a complex issue, ethically and legally, and it's a discussion that continues to evolve as we grapple with these tough questions in the legal field. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone.